Taking a look at the JSE's performance, the all share down 0.3% by the finish. As you can see, they're weighed down by the resources 10 component, losing just over 0.5%. Industrial 25 down 0.8% as well. Financial 15, though, managing to hold its own with a rise of over 1%. Joining me in studio now for a closer look at the day's market moves, Rob Tull from Sasfin Securities. Rob, thanks so much for joining us this evening. So it's been a pretty choppy trading day, and we've got traders expecting muted performances across the board, with volumes, of course, dampened by the first of four consecutive shortened trading weeks. What have you made of the trading day that was?
Now, it was quite an interesting day. We saw the banks doing quite well. We saw Investec recovering quite nicely. Absa Bank came up positive, Standard Bank as well. So we saw a bit of money flowing into the banks. Pick and Pay continued its pickup as well. Nearly trading 73 Rand. So it looks like we've seen a slight switch out of the commodity players, the Anglos, the Billitons, the South 32s, which we've seen for much of the beginning of the year, the first quarter, and starting to flow back into financials. It's a bit early to tell if it's a definite move across into financials, but it looks like people are starting to pick up some of the value that was found in some of those financials and retailers.
It's a bit early to tell, especially where there seems to be somewhat of a disconnect in terms of what's playing out on the macro scene versus the performances we're seeing sectorally. So like you say, banks and retailers doing well, but fundamentally in South Africa, nothing really has shifted in terms of our economic growth prospects, while miners have been trading in the red, and that despite encouraging data coming through from the likes of China.
Yes, so there's China still putting stimulus through, which is really positive for the miners. And then on the mining side, with Billiton and Anglo's been and Kumba all being in iron ore in South Africa, that iron ore price has been very strong after a few disasters in Brazil and in Australia. So we've got a very strong iron ore price, yet you're still seeing some of that money flow out of those miners at the moment, and maybe people are expecting that an iron ore price cannot stay that high for too long, and some of that supply will come back online. And then on the other side, the banks are still managing to produce good revenue. We just don't know how long it can last. The normal economy is under so much pressure. The small business is under a lot of pressure.
Yeah. We're, of course, anticipating CPI and retail sales figures on Wednesday on the local scene. Anything in particular there that you'll be looking out for?
Well, maybe an uptick in some type of CPI. They keep saying that inflation is benign, but we're having the petrol prices going up. We might have another hike in the petrol price in May again. So we'd like to see if that basket is starting to move up and starting to see a real inflation there. It will be good if it isn't, because then we can maybe cut that rate. But, if you go into the shop yourself and you buy in your normal basket of goods, it does feel like there's much more inflation that gets printed from compared to that CPI number.
Absolutely. Well, let's start to hone in on some of the company news that filtered through. We've had MTN trading higher today, up about 0.5%. And, of course, riding on the back of Jumia and what was a very successful IPO on Friday. What are you making of the kind of investment case Jumia's putting on the table and MTN's 30% holding in it?
Well, I think MTN said that it's not going to be a core holding for them, so you'd think that they would sell it. It closed the first day up, I think, 74%. That just puts a really big carrot in front of MTN to say, let's sell this. Mm-hmm. They're not making any money yet, so it's similar to Amazon at the start, where Amazon didn't make money for a very long time. Eventually, it got its business right, it spent all of its capex correctly, and then started to make money. So at the moment they're not making money, and I think you'd have to put a lot of capex into that business to start to generate revenue. If MTN wants to wait that long period of time, maybe there is something there. But I think looking at how much debt is on their balance sheet at the moment and a lot of regulatory problems, I would think that MTN would sell that asset.
I mean, that stake now worth 8.2 billion rand. So what that does is, generate a nice opportunity for MTN to raise a chunk of easy-to-use cash. Do you see the company selling it sooner rather than later?
I do. I think that, there's problems in Iran with getting money out of Iran. There's problems in Nigeria, getting some of that money out. And I think that they would, the shareholders have waited a long time for MTN to get things right. And I think that maybe they'll give that back to shareholders.
Okay. In that telco space, Telkom climbing to its best level since June 2017. And that thanks to some of the expectations that investors have around the group's outlook. How positive are you feeling about what Telkom has the potential to deliver on?
It's a difficult one because, you know, it's also disconnected. How many people are spending on telephones, cell phones, in a very difficult consumer market at this stage, you know? So they've come from a very low base, and therefore they can increase their operating profit and their income by just getting a few things right, which they've been doing for the last year and a half. So that's good. You know, they're starting to get a little bit rich at this level. Mm-hmm. What's interesting, though, is that there are mentions that the spectrum is going to be coming out for the cell providers at the end of April. And so it's quite interesting to see who's going to get that spectrum. Is it going to go to MTN and Vodacom mainly, or is Telkom and Cell C going to get some of that spectrum? So, you know, if that spectrum goes to Telkom, it'll be very interesting. There, they can definitely then make quite a bit of money from that. So I think the spectrum is going to be very important over the next few weeks.
What's your stock pick amidst it all?
Difficult at this stage. You know, we've got our elections coming up. You don't want to make too big a call. On the local front, you know, I think that the banks have had quite a good run over the last few weeks, but I think you're probably safe in within the bank. The banking sector is still paying very good dividends. But if it was me right now, I'd take some money offshore.
Okay, well, let's leave it there. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening, Rob. Rob Tull is with Sasfin Securities. What's your stock pick amidst it all?
Difficult at this stage. You know, we've got our elections coming up. You don't want to make too big a call. On the local front, you know, I think that the banks have had quite a good run over the last few weeks, but I think you're probably safe in within the bank. The banking sector is still paying very good dividends. But if it was me right now, I'd take some money offshore.
Okay, well, let's leave it there. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening, Rob. Rob Tull is with Sasfin Securities.